We are coming to the study of Acts chapter 2. The establishment of church. I suppose you have already read the whole book of Acts once. Who can define church? What is church? Based on the teaching of the book Acts, how do we define church? We come to Pacifica Church. Oh. How do we define church? Okay. Okay. Thank you. Church is not a building. Church is a group of people who have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. So in mainland China, we have so-called underground church. It doesn't mean that they are having a service underground or in the basement. It means a group of people, they have service secretly. Sometimes they use the living room, sometimes they go to the riverside, sometimes they go to the top of the mountain to have service, especially after 1949, under the Great Persecution. But 1980s, they started to adopt an open door policy, so gradually the church re-emerged in the society. So right now you can see many people went to the chapel to have service on Saturday or Sunday. And so the establishment of the Apostolic Church start from chapter 2. In the later part of chapter 2, 41, 3,000 were baptized. The church had been formally established. And before the church was established, they received the Holy Spirit first. The 12 apostles and the 120 people, the core member of the church, the core member of that group who tried to revive God's ministry. They pray according to chapter 2. And in chapter 2, let's come back to chapter 2. The first time the Holy Spirit descend in the world. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled with the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them the divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. You see, in the Old Testament, you can see the work of the Holy Spirit too. But the Old Testament is different from the New Testament. When Elijah was commanded by God to confront the false prophet, that time the Spirit of God descend on him in order to give him strength to accomplish God's entrustment. And right after Elijah accomplished God's entrustment, and the Spirit of God left. So Elijah became very weak. He ran away when the wife of the King Ahab, Jezebel, tried to threaten his life, and he escaped because the Spirit left him. So in the Old Testament time, the Holy Spirit descended on a person a short period of time. When the work finished, the Holy Spirit went back to kingdom, heaven. But in the New Testament time, it's different. When the Holy Spirit descends on a person, the Holy Spirit will dwell in this person forever until the person dies. In few extreme occasions, the Holy Spirit will depart from the person. If you grieve the Holy Spirit, after you receive baptism, you receive the water baptism and you receive the Holy Spirit, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will leave. What do you mean, grieve the Holy Spirit? When move Holy Spirit move you, don't do this, don't do that, and you continue to do something against the Holy Spirit. Oh, so the Holy Spirit will leave. I know some of the youth went to see the bad movie. Oh, right after the movie, pray in the senior house to see whether the Holy Spirit is still there. Oh, right. And do something bad and pray, Holy Spirit is still here. Oh, all of a sudden feel released and continue. If we continue to grieve the Holy Spirit, one day the Holy Spirit will leave. And when the Holy Spirit leaves, that's a very terrible experience. Oh, you feel God is not with you anymore. Oh, and that feeling is a feeling of loss. That a feeling being abandoned by God. That a feeling of emptiness. Oh, so don't try that. Oh, but what I heard, the youth, and the young boy, 10, 12 years old, I heard the most is to lose the Holy Spirit for 5 times. Small kids lie and the Holy Spirit just dead. I pray, repent it up and receive Holy Spirit. Lie the second time, the Holy Spirit dead. Oh, I think that's the love of Lord Jesus Christ. Try to teach the person. Oh. The first time the Holy Spirit came down, what happened? This is a historical moment. There's a sound, mighty sound from heaven, and they feel like a mighty wind blow on them. Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, original is breath. So the wind, the original text, is similar to breath. Adam was created by the dust. At that time, Adam unable to move. And God gave a breath, his breath. Actually, his breath is Spirit of God, it's Holy Spirit. Give a breath. And Adam become a living being. The same thing. The first time Holy Spirit descend on them, as original text, is the breath of God blow on them. And they start to receive Holy Spirit. And when they receive Holy Spirit, they have two feelings. The first feeling is the mighty wind blow on them. Really, in some occasion, some members really feel the Holy Spirit. I still recall in El Monte Church, one Saturday morning, one of the sisters came earlier than the service, and she prayed. She prayed for Holy Spirit, and she had a stuffed nose for a period of time because of she had a cold. And while she was praying, she felt that a very gentle breeze passing by her. And when the gentle breeze passing by her, the stuffed nose all of a sudden disappeared and become the nose is good. And she received Holy Spirit. So this kind of incident happened many times. Holy Spirit like a wind, like a breeze or blow on you. Okay. And Jesus also mentioned that in the book of John, he mentioned that the Holy Spirit is just like a wind brought on a person. We don't have a time to go back to the book of John. Okay. The second one, the Holy Spirit like a fire appeared like the shape of the tongue and like a fire descend on a person. This vision has a two important meaning. Holy Spirit like a fire. Holy Spirit like fire. The first meaning is fire is a cleansing power. When the fire burns through the old mountain, everything finished. So when the fire burning in your heart, all your filthy, all your dirty thought will be cleansed. You will become a very pure person. And the second is fire contains some kind of heat. So when the Holy Spirit descends on a person, being filled by the person, this person will become very fervent. So Holy Spirit like a fire. So no wonder in Acts chapter 6, they try to choose 6 person to in charge of distributing the food. One of the criteria should be filled by the Holy Spirit, have the fire inside, the zeal inside. The second one is appear like a tongue. The fire appear like a tongue. The tongue will roaring like a fire. You don't get into a candle when the priest brought on the candle, the fire was moving. The same thing, the tongue was vibrating like the flame under the priest, moving, waving, and descend on them. Okay. Verse 4, and they have been filled by the Holy Spirit and speak. And Chinese translation, speak another language. That's wrong. Speak an unknown tongue. The tongue is roaring. Speak an unknown tongue. So there was one period of time, a confusion in the church. Somebody say, speak or speak tongue. So when you receive Holy Spirit, you must speak. Your tongue is roaring, you must speak. Only when you speak something like a language, it's the Holy Spirit. But after we do some extensive research, we discovered that any language moved by the Holy Spirit considered as speaking tongue, either sentence by sentence or a rolling tongue or mixed together, all is evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. So this is the first time when the Holy Spirit descend on the world. What happened? Like a wind brought on them, so the body was shaken, filled with the power of God. And the tongue, like a shape of fire, descend on them. They just start to speak in tongue. Okay. And start from verse 5 onwards, there are two different kind of reaction. Verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem the Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. So the devout Jews coming back from every nation under the heaven. And God opened their eyes, so they heard, verse 8, God opened their ear, so they heard that, how it is that we hear, each in our own language in which you were born. So those who come back from abroad heard that 120 people pray inside, speak their own native language. So this is first reaction. God opened those who are devout. The second phenomenon that happened is those who are not devout and God did not open their ear. What did they say? Verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 13. Other mocking said, they are filled with new wine. So Peter stood up and defends. Peter stand up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. So Peter defends. This exactly the fulfillment of the prophecy in the book of Joel. So it's nothing new. It's the fulfillment of prophecy. This is the greatest news. The pouring down of the Holy Spirit. So today, if you talk with some of the Christians, they explain verse 5 to verse 12 is quite different from us. Their explanation is when the Holy Spirit descends on you and you really speak the other language, the language of other country. But we do not subscribe this kind of interpretation. Because in our church, we did have this kind of experience. During the prayer, the one who received Holy Spirit keep on praying, and the one who knelt down and can hear the one he's praying talk with his own native language. 1988, I was in Nigeria, in the second largest city called Port Harcourt. In a suburb area, there was a church. We have a convention there, spiritual convocation there. I saw a young boy about 6 to 7 years old. He was filled by the Holy Spirit and jumped up and down. And he kept on saying, Abba Father, you say you love me. I hear very clearly, he speak English. Abba Father, you say you love me. But after prayer, I use the English, ask him, why are you praying? What did you say? He did not understand English because he did not go to school. I really heard that he speak English. I think it must be God who opened my ear. So I hear he speak English. Abba Father, you say you love me. So this kind of incident happened in many times in our church. So we firmly believe they speak unknown language, according to the 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Speaking in tongues, you speak unknown language. Since it speak to God, not speak to man. So this is a mysterious language. You cannot understand by your ear. But if God open your ear, you can understand the meaning of the words inside. Okay. So this is the first incident of the Holy Spirit descend in the world. And this incident will become a model to judge what is evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. You see chapter 2, verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So Peter testified, God poured down the Holy Spirit which you see and hear. The Spirit of God is invisible. How can you see? How can you hear? Because when the Spirit of God came to a person, there is an outer phenomenon happen. You speak in tongues so you can hear the vibration of the body so you can see. You this kind of outer signs to indicate the person received the Holy Spirit. So speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. That is what we think according to the teaching of the Bible. Okay, and Peter start from verse 14 to verse 36. This is the first sermon delivered by Peter. And the sermon is so powerful that the Holy Book in that time had a very great breakthrough. Chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, they were cut and asked Peter a question. What shall we do? Cut. According to Ephesians chapter 6, we are the soldier of God. We should be fully armed. And one of the important of the armor we should have is the sword. And what is the sword? Do you know what is the sword? The word of God. The word of God, which is the sword we have. And how come the word of God will become a sword? 圣灵的宝剑就是神话. The word of the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the words of God. So the words of God is the sword of the Holy Spirit. When a person being filled by the Holy Spirit, and the message delivered out of the movement of the Holy Spirit, this message is very sharp, can cut into people's heart and cause a person to repent. So the same message, if it is not through the movement of the Holy Spirit, you will feel the message very weak. The man is talking. But when the person is filled by the Holy Spirit, you will feel that it's coming from God. So people will be moved. So that is the difference. Peter preached, 3,000 people's heart was deeply cut. And they asked Peter, what shall we do? Do you know, most of people like to give command, what should you do? Nobody like to ask a question, what shall I do, right? So these 3,000 people asked Peter, what shall I do? Because God moved them, moved their heart. They know they have sinned. So all of a sudden they become humble. They want to be saved. So they ask, what should I do? The same thing happened in the church many times. The truth seeker, very, very good social background, very, very good achievement in the world, and come to the church. And been filled by the Holy Spirit, they become very humble. And they ask the church, what should I do? What does the church want me to do? The Holy Spirit will speak of meekness. It's very powerful. So when a person be moved by Holy Spirit, he will be very humble, just like that generation. And the first message delivered by Peter, if we examine carefully, you cannot see very profound theological debate, theological issue. The message is very simple. If you sum up the message delivered by Peter, you can find out a few points. Page 11. The proclamation of the disciples. One, full of power. Content was simple. The first main message the Spirit of God has descended according to the prophecy of Joel. The second message, Jesus is Christ. The third message, Jesus has resurrected. Now, Jesus resurrected, so Jesus is a Christ. So the message is very simple, but very powerful. So if we want to learn from what happened in the Day of Pentecost, you understand the key point to convert a person is not a lot of very profound theological theory. The key point to convert a person is a very simple and powerful message cut into people's heart that they know they are a sinner, and then they will turn back to Jesus Christ for salvation. In the book of Acts, you can see three important breakthroughs of the holy work. Three important breakthrough. One is a breakthrough of very hostile environment from Judaism. The second is a breakthrough of racial barrier. The third is a breakthrough of geographical barrier. And this is the first breakthrough. Surrounded by the Judaism, the people believe in Judaism, and those group of people just crucified Jesus about 40 days ago. So they are searching the disciple of Jesus. They try to persecute the disciple of Jesus Christ. So you can imagine the environment there is very, very intimidating. Intimidate a lot of people. A lot of people will be scared. But after Peter received Holy Spirit, he stood up and very bold to preach the gospel. The same thing today. We need that kind of power. The second breakthrough, the breakthrough of racial barrier. In which chapter? Through the guidance of Holy Spirit, the gospel crossed the racial barrier from the Jews into the Gentiles. Which chapter? Chapter 10, right? Cornelius, incidents. The third breakthrough, crossing the geographical area from Asia Minor to Europe. In which chapter? Chapter 18, right? Or 17 or 18. During the time Paul was praying, and God instructed him, forbid him to come here, forbid him to come there, and finally there was a visions witness and call him to Macedonia, and Paul went to Macedonia and established the first church. What is the first church? First church in Europe? What was the first church in Europe? Huh? Efficient? Huh? Efficient, or what is the first church? Huh? Corinthian? Antioch? do you know first seed? Who was the first seed? A woman. Huh? Lydia, right? Lydia is in what church? Which church? Philippine, right? Philippine, right? Okay. Well, later on, you're going to study that. How? So, three important breakthroughs were achieved not by planning of human being, but by the guidance and the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. So this is given a very clear clear guidance. In true Jesus Church, how should you break through the racial barrier? You see, in NCC, I've attending so many times from 1982 until now. In the previous NCC, so many times discuss about how to preach the gospel to Caucasian. We do an extensive discussion, come out a lengthy list of the recommendation. But until now, we still have difficulties, right? But miracle happened last year. Isn't it last year or this year? And there was a couple. And originally, the Park couple was a Seventh Adventist member. And the wife feel that the baptism is not according to the Bible. So she felt that her sin was not washed away. So she was searching a true church. So she typed the words "True Church of Jesus Christ" into the internet and click on searching engine and come out "True Jesus Church." She lived in New York State, very far away from the church, about 1 hour and 40 minutes. And she called the church. The next week, her husband drove her to the church. From our so many past experience, no use. Once he come, it's Oriental. All the people in the background speak Oriental language, eat Oriental food, talk Oriental culture. It's the second time, bye-bye. At that time, we feel very, this just follows the routine, this just hopeless. But miraculously, the first time she came and she felt, she's good, this is a true church. And the second week, her husband said, it's too far, I don't want to go. She prayed, God, please move my husband. And the husband second day said, yes, I bring you there. And after coming to church for three times, she mentioned, we want to be baptized. She baptized. How can it possible so quickly want to be baptized? And we continue to talk with them. They are very sincere. Want to be baptized. So from the experience, we feel if God is working, very easy to convert a person, regardless is the black, white, or what color, regardless what kind of position the person is. If God's work, very easy. If God doesn't work, very difficult. How can you plan? A lot of guidelines, no use, is no use. God working is very more important. And during the time of baptism, the husband went into the water. He saw the light, very bright light shine upon him, and saw the blood of Jesus Christ in the water. And after come back to the church, pray and receive the Holy Spirit, vibrating heavily. And he feel that his life has been transformed. After the baptism, they came every other week. And one day, he parked a car in a parking lot. All of a sudden, the rear view, that the mirror falling down. The husband say, "Why? How come this happened?" So they start to think, and all other things happen. Thus, they start to think, "Hey, maybe God wants us to keep the Sabbath." So right now, every Sabbath, come to the church, drive 1 hour and 40 minutes. Nobody force him. Nobody force them. It's God who work in them. So from the book of Acts, compared with our experience in the church, is if you plan a lot, achieve nothing, why not reverse? Pray a lot and pray little to see what's the difference. We are not saying praying is not important. It is important. But God's guidance and God's work is far more important. So these are three important breakthroughs, and one of them is in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Peter was very bold to preach the gospel. Okay. verse 37. They ask Peter, what shall we do? And Peter give them an instruction that you have to repent and baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. I think you have already studied in the first two sections of NYTS. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. And this promise is to you and your children and those who are afar. Peter exhorted them to rescue themselves out of this crooked generation. So in that day, 3,000 were baptized. So this is established the first church. So a lot of churches right now start to pray for Holy Spirit. But TJC, the early worker, they received the Holy Spirit first. And then they, through the guidance of God, they built the True Jesus Church. So start from the day one of True Jesus Church in 1917, we start to use the Holy Spirit to pray. And this is one of the important reasons for how come that TJC considered as a cult. Because 70, 80 years ago, not many churches are talking about speaking in tongues, Holy Spirit. But our church already pray in that way. But we follow the teaching of the Bible, exactly. Now we see verse 42. Before we go into the verse 42, who established the true church, apostolic church? Who established the apostolic church? Huh? Holy Spirit is God Himself. So the founder, if you look into there's a small booklet called the Doctrine of True Jesus Church, right? Comparing by USGA. The founder is talking about who? Jesus Christ. This is quite different. If you go to the Seventh-day Adventists, they have their own founder. If you go to the Christian Scientological Church, they have their own founder. You visit the Lutheran Church, you can see the founder. So a lot of independent churches, you always can see the founder. But in True Jesus Church, the founder is Jesus Christ. So we never emphasize the three early workers. One is Zhang Banaba, the other one is Paul Wei, and the third one is Zhang Lingsheng. Three persons. They are only the instrument of God. And three of them, or two of them, their lifespan very short. Somebody say maybe they fast pray too much. So lifespan become very short. But it's possible the reason is because God knows human weakness always honor people as a founder. So they after they finish the work, then they die. Okay. And another worker, Zhang Banaba, and later on become crazy. He was very powerful. He worked a lot for God. The southern part of the True Jesus Church was established by God through the mighty work of Zhang Banaba. But eventually the church is communicating him. Why? When God was with him, he prayed and people's sickness was cured. He prayed and the demon was cast out. So gradually, because of this mighty work manifest through his work, gradually he feel he is God. So he make a cross like a rope and put on the crown and holding a staff, acting like a God. So eventually fall because of pride. So the early worker, they are the instrument of God. They are not founder of True Jesus Church. TJC founder is Jesus Christ himself. So if you look into TJC history, the early worker, you will never feel the envy about TJC, but they are only the instrument of God. Okay. And after they believe in Jesus, what kind of life did they live? Now we come back to page 11, Roman character number 4. The life of in the early church. So what kind of life should we live as a Christian after we believe in Jesus? The answer is we have to return to the life of the apostolic church. I know that quite often if you attend the seminar for several times, you always saw a diagram drawn by the minister. The first apostolic church, from the day one established, is a perfect church. And gradually, until Paul, John, they pass away, the church already gradually changed. Until one or second century, second or third century, the Holy Spirit completely ascended to heaven. And there is no true Jesus church, no apostolic church. And the church become Roman Catholic. Then, this is Peter Pan. 1917, BJC was established. So it was you heard somebody commented that the church is true, but the people is not true, right? So some people question whether true church is a true church. True Jesus church is a true church. Yes. From 1917, God revealed the complete gospel to the early worker. Our church complete. But the members' spirituality needs to improve. Perfection. The doctrine itself is complete. So you study many different churches, they have the history of the doctrine. Only true Jesus church does not have the history of the doctrine. What's the difference? If a church has the history of the doctrine, means the doctrine is evolved. The first worker, I have this understanding. And the second generation of worker, they have far more deeper understanding. So the doctrine evolved from stage one, stage two, to stage three. And this process, it become a history of their doctrine. But TJC does not have the history of the doctrine. Why? From the day one, God already revealed the complete gospel. So no history of the doctrine. So that is the difference. Okay, and what kind of life did they live? Believing in Jesus must be able to change our life. Yes, we have studied the four gospels and we understood this. If you believe in Jesus and your life does not change, that means you only are mentally theoretically, you accept Jesus. You did not commit to Jesus. If we really commit our life to Jesus, your life will be different. It's just like a marriage. If you really commit yourself to the one you get married, your lifestyle will be changed. Because right now, previously, you have only one person. Right now, you have two person. It's different. The same thing, before you believe in Jesus, you are alone. But after you believe in Jesus, you commit yourself to Jesus, you should not only care about yourself, you have to care how does Jesus feel about you. And then your life will be different. And that is a transformation. So believing in Jesus must be able to change our life. There must be some kind of transformation in your life. Now, we are going to see the early church. How did they live their spiritual life? The first one, chapter 2, verse 42. Chapter 2, verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. The first one is they abide in apostles' teaching. Because at that time there was no New Testament. New Testament was written later on. But Jesus just passed away about 40 days. Jesus just ascended in heaven. So they have some kind of Peter and John and Mark and Matthew, they understand and they remember part of Jesus' teaching. So where they are gathering, they will talk to each other. What did Jesus say? They don't have a written book about Jesus' words, about Jesus' life. They don't have book yet. not yet. So at that time, apostles' teaching actually is Jesus' teaching. And later on, they collected everything together to compile to become a Bible. So the first transformation of your life is using Jesus' teaching as the highest guiding principle. This is the first transformation. Right now, after we believe in Jesus, what should we do? After you receive the baptism, what should you do? You have to use the teaching of the Bible as the highest guiding principle of your life. No matter what kind of decision, if it's against the teaching of the Bible, you have to change. You have to change your decision. Instead of trying to interpret the Bible to shoot into your own decision. No. Use the Bible to guide you. Now, by doing so, you fulfill Lord's Prayer. Our Father who are in heaven, thy kingdom come. You become my king. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How can we do that? Follow God's teaching in the Bible. But this is the first spiritual transformation. So what would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? The first time I heard that you mentioned about this, I thought it was some kind of website. It turned out it's not. What would Jesus do? If you hear somebody say, Jesus told me this, Jesus told me that, don't be misled. When they say, Jesus told me this, Jesus told me that, always referring to when they read the Bible, there was a particular verse really touched me. So I say, Jesus tell me that. Nowadays, not many people are really hear the voice of Jesus Christ. If somebody always say, Jesus talk to me in my ear, that person has some problem. Really? In some occasion, when the evil spirit start to work, they will hear a lot of voice, and Jesus is talking. And some people even work by Holy Spirit, say, but by the evil spirit, means that everybody listen, Jesus is talking through me. Even in our church, Jesus is talking through me. Everybody says, oh, Jesus is talking through him. Okay. Bring the recorder. Everybody, the pen is ready. Jesus talking to me. I'm telling the true story. Jesus through this sister's mouth. Everybody recording and write down for a couple of days. Everybody, oh God, work mightily. And the one elder come and listen. That's the work of Satan. All of that, everybody awakened. So if anybody hears Jesus talking to the ear, be cautious. Most of often, it's not coming from God. Or anybody claim, Jesus is talking through me. Listen, most often, that's the work of Satan. Jesus' words and Jesus' deeds have been mentioned in the Bible. When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you study the words of God, and Jesus is going to tell you his will from the teaching of the Bible. This Bible is the manual. You buy a computer, you need a manual. So you know how to operate the computer. When there's a problem, how to solve the problem. All right? After you become the children of God, you need a manual to teach you how to behave like a children of God. The manual is the Bible. So if you become a children of God, baptized, you threw the Bible out away, how can you become a children of God? Just like you lose your manual, how can you operate your computer? The same thing. So the first transformation is they abide in the teaching of the apostle. The reason they abide in the teaching of the apostle because there was no written books yet about the New Testament. The second transformation is fellowship. The fellowship is a very special term used in the Bible. Have you heard about fellowship in your school besides a Christian, some kind of club related to Christianity? Have you heard about some kind of fellowship? I think fellowship probably a very exclusively used by Christian. And fellowship is different from socialize. So we come to the church to have fellowship. We are not coming to the church to socialize. Do you know what is the difference? What is the difference? We come to the church to socialize and we come to the church to have fellowship. What's the difference? If it is fellowship, the center of your conversation is Jesus Christ, is God, for the purpose of edifying each other. If it is socialized, the center of conversation is man. The purpose of socialized is to satisfy every man. So when you attend a social gathering, you have to pay very much attention about what kind of dress you have to wear. When the social gathering, when they bring a cup of the juice or a champagne or whatsoever, you have to start to praise others. Oh, very beautiful your clothes. Wow, this house is good. This flower is good. Everybody praising each other. So the time you are living, very happy. Everybody get drunk from other people's praising. So no wonder so many people like to socialize. There is none of socialize just go there and criticize each other. That kind of socialize, nobody want to go. But the fellowship is different. The fellowship is centered on God. What does that mean, centered on God? There are a few things you can do. First, let us share about our own experience about Jesus Christ. The grace you receive from God, the life you have been transformed through knowing Jesus Christ. The process of your spiritual growth is a testimony. If you speak out this testimony, those who listen will be edified. So this is called fellowship. The second, when you read the Bible, a lot of passage is very moving, very touching in your heart. Or you read an article, or you listen a sermon, and you speak out your own thinking, your own feeling to other people, and they will be moved too. The third, when we have fellowship, we can care other people. Of course, you will ask about your work, you will ask about your school, this and that. But eventually, the content will focus on spirituality, their relationship with God. For example, you ask somebody about how about your work, and this person start to complain. Oh, do you know all my co-workers against me? Oh, and other people say, oh, it sounds that you are under the eighth blessing. Blessed are those who've been persecuted. Would you please tell me more? And after you listen for a while, say, oh, the reason you are persecuted because you did not practice Matthew another law. If you want to other people treat you well, you have to treat other people good. All right. So after you listen and give some advice, so everything you talk eventually will come back to teaching of the Bible. You talk about other people, about something about money stuff, and other people will tell you, do you know I lose a lot of money because of stock? And after you talk, eventually come back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Greedy is the root of all evils. All right, so give him some advice. Be content with what you have. Don't be greedy. So this kind of fellowship, eventually will dip up everybody's face. And the last point of fellowship is we'll conclude in prayer. So the reason we want to understand other people's problem, not because of curiosity. I like to know you. So I love to ask a lot of questions, just like detective. A lot of questions, and I understand you. After I set in my curiosity, bye-bye. That is not fellowship. Fellowship is I want to understand your problem so that I can help you. So after I understand you, next time I'm going to pray for you secretly. So that's called fellowship. And that's exactly the life the early Christian lived. And that kind of life is the lifestyle we have to pursue nowadays in the church. Promote fellowship, increase fellowship, and diminish socialize in the church. Okay.